Greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Gambling is big business. As these statistics reveal to us, in the United States, gambling brings in $60 billion annually, largely to the underworld. In Great Britain, about $5.5 billion are bet each year, with the government taking around $450 million. In France, citizens wager $2.6 billion every year. In Monaco, the yearly take is $30 to $40 billion. In Belgium, total turnover is $500 million. In the Netherlands, it is $300 million. In West Germany, $4 billion. In Italy, $600 million. In Japan, $14 billion. In Canada, $3 billion. And very soon, there will be one for Singapore as well. Isn't it? Casinos will come to our beloved land. Gambling galore, it's only a game, many would argue. Many would see it as not a problem. It's only a game. The fourth Earl of Sandwich hardly dreamed that his name would someday be so closely associated with such low-born items as peanut butter and jelly. The 18th century British aristocrat was so addicted to gambling that he did not stop for a regular meal. Instead, he ordered slices of cold beef to be placed between slices of toast. And that's how we get the name, a sandwich. So you learn something new tonight. How do we get the term sandwich? Well, it's named after the fourth Earl of Sandwich, who was addicted to gambling. And so out of his gambling addiction, we now have this wonderful meal called sandwich. So some good thing came out of gambling, you may argue. It's not that bad. There is a game that is played in Los Angeles, whereby businessmen goes on business lunches, and after the meal, they would decide who would pay. So each and every one of them would take out their credit card, and they will place it face down, right in the middle of the table, and then they will ask the waiter to come and pay the bill. The waiter will choose from the credit card, and the one that the waiter selects will be the one who will pay the bill. Even as simple as that, people can gamble. We gamble all the time over the simplest, most innocuous circumstance in our lives, like this Colombian woman who found this US dollar bill, believed that it must be a good luck charm, and so she went to play the lotto game using the dollar's serial numbers. And with this, she made $391,000 by just picking up a US dollar note. It's like many people who would buy the 4D using the brand new car numbers that they have on their number plate, or some other good luck event like the birth date of their firstborn son. They will use the day and the month and the year to buy some lottery ticket. According to Holiday magazine, in Monte Carlo, the English church in Mexico will not have the hymn number lower than 37. The reason is because on that particular Sunday when the chairman chooses the hymn, if you have numbers less than 37, there may be gamblers in that church who will use those numbers and go to the casinos in Monte Carlo and buy the number at the roulette table. And so in those churches, all the hymn numbers will be 37 and above. You mean Christians also gamble? The latest survey, 2004, December to February 2005, you find it in table number 1. professing Christians in Singapore, how many percent do you think gambles, Christians, who call themselves Christians in Singapore? The number is 55%. It's not a very, very good image that we Christians present to the world. Page 6 of your notes, right at the bottom. Gambling participation rates in terms of religion, Taoism 77%, Buddhism 72%, no religion free thinker 67%, Christianity 55%, Hinduism 34%, Islam 13%. They put us to shame. Professing Christians, 55%. Do you think it includes us? Is it true that Chinese are very well known for their gambling habits? True or false? According to the statistics that you find, again on page 6, you look at the ethnicity. Between the Chinese and the Malay, the Chinese and Indian, you look at the Chinese. 68% compared to the Malay, 12%. The Indian, only 30%. Both of them combined together, they still can't beat the Chinese. There's something wrong with us, don't you think so? Gender-wise, male 61%, female 56%. Now all these statistics were gleaned for the purpose of the construction of the IE, the IR, the Integrated Resort. Age group, 30 to 49, 60 over percent gambling participation. Highest education level, GCEA level, 67%, university degree and above, 66%. Income group, those who have more money, they gamble more, $4,000 and above per month. Marital status, married with no kids, 68%. Married with kids, also gamble, 61%. Divorce, 48%. Never married, 51%. Singapore's statistics. So in other words, we as Singaporeans, based upon our financial status, based upon our ethnicity, you can find out how gambling pro we are. We are inclined to gamble, by and large. We live in a society of gamblers. The percentage are all above average, above 50%. And that is very frightening. Whether we have children or no children, it doesn't seem to matter. We will still gamble for one reason or another. And we are very good gamblers. And it's easy to gamble. You may have people who sit at the coffee shop, they're seated there drinking a cup of coffee or so we think. And a group of them may be just gambling away without us realizing it. And they can gamble over the most ridiculous thing, such as, who do you think will be the first one to buy the next cup of coffee, male or female? $10. They gamble. The one who enters the entrance, to enter the door, male or female? Gamble. Below the age of 20 or below the age of 40, gamble. We can gamble over anything under the sun. Especially the Chinese. Very, very strongly inclined to gamble. The argument is, gambling is going to be with us. It's not going to go away. If we do not legalize it, gamblers will go overseas or they're going to gamble behind closed doors illegally. Where at least with legalized gambling, we can control it. We can set guidelines to regulate gambling. And that's exactly what our government has done. There are a few arguments, such as the mighty dollar argument. If we do not have casinos, Singapore will be passed over. We're going to lose out to many, many of these big countries around us, big cities that will glean the benefits of having casinos, of legalizing casinos. casino gambling in particular. Monday editor has this to say. I would say good times will come around again if we have a casino in Singapore. But it's not because we can party at the casino till we go broke. Rather, it's because a casino will help bring in much needed revenue both for the government and us people. The government gains through taxes. Other countries, if you use them as a gauge, they will reap millions of dollars. And with the billions that they can make through these casinos, $5 million to build a casino is just a drop in the mighty dollar bucket. They can reap it back in no time if the people from surrounding region would flock to Singapore to gamble in the casinos. If what we read in these statistics are anything to go by, they can make back their billions within a very short time. All the figures here are in the hundreds of millions, and some of them are in the billions. And so this Monday editor would continue to argue. The government will gain through taxes, we gain through the money that comes in at the sidelines and restaurants, which translates into more job openings and consequently more money for the family, you know, through increased spending in our shops. We need not worry about the crimes that go hand in hand with casinos. Why? Well, our police have been doing a good job maintaining security in our streets. In fact, we have an international reputation for clean and safe streets. Surely, we can't be thinking that our police will be any less effective in combating crime if a casino opens here. I'm offering serious thought on the casino proposal because I'm afraid that if we do not have a casino, we may not be able to draw in sufficient income into Singapore to bring in the good times again. If the good times do not return, I'm afraid that more Singaporeans may think of emigrating with their families to start a new life elsewhere. Though this may not occur in the near future, there is a distinct possibility that it may occur within the next 10 or 20 years. These able Singaporeans have no second thoughts about setting up home elsewhere. Their personal well-being comes first on their minds. In case you haven't been noticing, our younger workers are generally less enthusiastic about their jobs. They have no qualms about switching to less demanding jobs. It is sad to note this, but in bringing about such high standards of living, the government has inevitably created what I call the soft Singaporean mentality, which has already infected our young generation, particularly those in their early 30s or younger. My fear is that these younger Singaporeans will not think twice that emigrating to another country, thus creating a Singaporean diaspora. Do we need to wait till such a situation occurs in our midst before taking action? I say no. Our government is known for its pragmatism. It has been its pragmatism that has brought us thus far. We may not like the way the government puts things in our face, but we can't deny we have prospered as a result. The mighty dollar argument is a very convincing argument. And so you and I must do our part. Building the casino is not good enough. We must visit the casino now. This is the mighty dollar argument. And therefore, a $5 billion casino will be built in the heart of Singapore's CBD area. It will come. And based upon the architecture and the size of it, it's going to dominate the skyline. It's going to be huge. And it's going to attract a lot of people. Will you be there? It's only a game, they cry. It's good for business. It helps the family in the long run. The strict control argument. Well, let's say we put it under strict control. Maybe that will curb and control any pathological gamblers. Let the casinos in Singapore be placed under strict control, they argue. There will be both external as well as internal controls. The external control will be from the Casino Regulatory Authority, CRA. These internal controls would include mandatory reporting of transactions above $10,000, record keeping of transactions above $5,000, mandatory reporting of suspicious transactions and anti-money laundering training for employees, social safeguards against minors below 21 years from entering the casinos. Family members of problem gamblers can apply to the National Council on Problem Gambling, which was launched on 31st August 2005, for exclusion orders to be imposed on their loved ones. So if you know your father has a gambling problem, you can write to this National Council of Problem Gambling, and then they will ban your father or your husband from going to the casino. To collect an entry levy for Singapore citizens and permanent residents for every consecutive 24 hours in the casino, or $2,000 for an annual membership. Now, these are all gleaned from the internet, and they're going to enforce this. So basically, the protection will be on Singaporeans and PR in Singapore, because our burden, our complaint so far has been how it will affect Singaporeans and those who live in Singapore, permanent residents. And so they will have strict restrictions on Singaporeans and permanent residents. Prohibit casino and junket operators from extending credit to Singapore citizens and permanent residents unless they maintain a credit balance of at least $100,000 with the casino operator at the start of their gaming, which would qualify them as premium players. And automatic teller machines or ATMs shall not be allowed, prohibited within the casinos under Section 109 of the bill. So the patrons will not have easy access to their savings accounts to gamble continuously. These strict measures, when carried out rigidly, will hopefully contain the social fallout. This is what they hope. With all these strict guidelines, control and curb them. What about the religious argument? Well, we have already mentioned from the table number one that out of all the professing Christians, 55% say they gamble. And if you look at the last table, at the page 9, out of these 55%, you look at table number 8, the profiles under probable pathological gamblers. Now, of these 55%, how many will end up as pathological gamblers? That means they will gamble their life away. They'll gamble everything away, including their family, and at worst, they may even take their own lives because they have lost everything and they are in terrible debt, a debt that they cannot get themselves out of. They may even commit suicide. Out of these, Christianity, 1.5%. 1.5%. Out of how many Christians? 200,000? Half a million? It's not a small number in terms of figures. It may be small in terms of percentage. Why is gambling so attractive? Why is it so appealing? It stems from the sinful nature that is in our hearts. There is this desire in us to want more, especially many of those things that do not belong to us. The word to use is the word covet. The problem with us is that we are not satisfied with what we have. We want more. More of the things of this world. But the Bible's command is, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not have more, especially more of those things that do not belong to you. And unless we see gambling as sin and not a game, we're not going to deal with it, or at least not deal with it seriously enough to stop it entirely in our lives. And therefore, many of us will have no qualms indulging in social gambling. Are there members in Calvary Pandan who gamble, such as play mahjong? I'm not surprised. Not surprised at all. There was one occasion where I was with a church member who was house hunting, and so a member asked my wife and I to go along to help them. And while we were looking at this house, I saw a church member walking toward another house. And then we were told by a neighbor of the house, oh, they're having a mahjong game now. So the member was going there to play mahjong. Noonday, afternoon time. Probably the children were in school, you have some time in your hands. Play mahjong, it's only a game. It's okay. Many may gamble during Chinese New Year. It's only a game. And sometimes we're not even playing for money. It's only a game. That's our problem, isn't it? When we see sin as fun, as just a game, that will immediately remove every guard that we should have to stop us from going beyond just a game into ruining our lives, into being a slave to gambling. Gambling is a sin. It begins with a desire for money that we do not need to work hard for. And then there is the thrill of hoping to land that jackpot, to get heaps of money without doing any hard work. By just putting a small wager, I get a large amount of money. And that anticipation has caused many people to keep on buying and buying and buying that extra lottery ticket, or pull that one arm bended liver, or to now, I was told, now you don't pull anymore, you just press a button. It must be now my turn. Must be my turn. And so you put in the dollar, you put in, keep on putting in more and more and more and more, and you dare not even go for your lunch because it may be taken over by somebody else, and somebody else may put that extra coin and then press the button and all the jackpot may come out. And you'll miss everything. And so you will not go to the toilet, you will not go for lunch, you just sit there and sit there and sit there and keep on feeding that machine. And before you know it, you are hooked. Just simply could not get away. And you will sit there for 4, 5, 6, 7 hours and not realizing it. And then you plan. It must be my turn. It must be my turn. And when they close shop, it's still not your turn. Tomorrow morning, I must be the first one to get back at this machine. And so you try again the next day. And when it closes the next day, still not your turn. And then you go on and on and on. And before you know it, you are broke. You have wasted away your entire life savings, which you have planned for your children's education. For whatever reason, it's all gone. And it's still no jackpot. It is said that those jackpot machines in many of these clubs bring in on a monthly basis hundreds of thousands of dollars. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. All they do is just hire those machines, put it there, and they just reap tons and tons of money. Just hire a guy there to make sure nobody fools around and to change the money for you. And that's it. They make hundreds of thousands of dollars from gamblers. Why? Because they do not see it as a sin. They just feel that it's only a game. And the sad part is we Christians think likewise. And how many Christians have been ensnared by gambling? And how they have ruined their marital lives? How they have ruined their family lives in the process? And some of them ruined it completely. Devastated them so that they ended up in divorce. Thankfully, there are some who realized the sin and they stopped it. And they salvaged their marriage and their family before it destroyed them. It's not a game, dear friends. It is a sin. Because the root problem is not just gambling, it's the heart condition. The covetousness that is in us, the desire in our hearts to want that thing which we know we do not need at all. But we want it. Covetousness is in us. And if we do not deal with it and arrest it immediately, we are going to let it breed and let it go wild, like wildfire. And it's going to burn out of control. Recognize that the sin of covetousness is a very heinous and serious sin. It is commandment number 10. It is as if God is telling us, out of all the 9 commandments, if
I have missed out any other commandment, number 10 will include every other commandment under the sun that is not mentioned in the first 9. That's how sweeping and inclusive is commandment number 10. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's house, neighbor's wife, his manservant, his maidservant, his ox, his ass, anything that is your neighbor's, that is not yours. Don't have this desire for things that are not yours. Be thankful for what you have. That's what it means, positively stated. It's a sin. In a study conducted by the CAD in Singapore on prison inmates who have committed commercial crimes, the interviewees revealed that they got hooked on gambling after experiencing the euphoric feeling when they won. Others gamble to escape stress. As they develop into problem gamblers, they get so consumed by it that they lose interest in everything else. And their family and work lives are affected. They also lie habitually about their gambling habits and conceal their losses. When they lose, they tend to chase after the losses and end up in deeper trouble. Many eventually turn to crime to finance their habits. Now, this is a description written by non-Christians. Notice they use the word to finance their habits. It's not a sin. It's not an evil. It's not wicked. It's just a habit. It's a game. It's a habit. They allow it to become a habit. If it's not a habit, it's fine. If I gamble moderately, if I only have social gambling, just like social drinking, it's fine. It is the social argument that is so deadly. We are playing with poisonous snake and saying that it will not burn, it will not bite me. We are playing with fire and we say it will not burn me. It's only social playing. Who are we kidding? Do you want to wait until you end up in prison like these people before you realize that it is heinous, it is terrible? By then your life is already ruined. It's not a game. The root cause is the covetousness that is in our hearts. And what is the root cause of covetousness? Love. The love of money, which is the root of all evil. The root cause of the sin of covetousness is love. A twisted kind of love that enslaves the person. Not the right kind of love. The love of God that is pure, that is good, that is holy, that liberates us from sin, from that which is evil. That is the good kind of love that comes from God and God alone. Not this kind of love. This is the lust that has consumed many lives. It has been estimated that Australians part with $8.2 billion a year in legal and illegal gambling, a figure more than gross national product of several Asian and African countries. According to Methodist minister Alan Walker, each person in New South Wales spends an average of $650 per year on gambling. It is not uncommon to see housewives playing the slot machine while shelling peas after their mid-morning shopping. Many people have committed suicide after losing heavily on the poker machine. The love to possess that extra dollar which they probably do not need has been the cause of untold evils, criminal breach of trusts, wickedness, murders, thefts, robbery, betrayal, ruined lives, including suicide. And the list is unending. Not too long ago, we read in the papers about this lawyer who owed casinos all over the major cities of Australia millions of dollars. And he has disappeared, absconded with clients' money, or alleged to have absconded with clients' money. What happened? What more do we need before we realize that as Christians, gambling is a sin? We have the love of God in our hearts, a love that is pure, a love that enables us to love that which is good and righteous and holy. And as Christians, we must not allow this love to turn to lust for gambling. That's what it is. It is lust for gambling. To pursue after the filthy lucre that is of this world that will destroy us, that which God told us not to go after. It's like a dog going back to its own vomit. That's what we'll be doing if we gamble as believers. We have been delivered from this bondage, from this sin, from this wickedness. It's not a habit. It's a terrible sin. It's enslaved us. It's ensnared us. And we have to see it for what it is. The root cause is inside. It's not outside. The problem is not the casino. The problem is us inside. If we deal not with the inside, whether there is casino or no casino, the problem will still be there. It's just that with the casino, and you go in there and you gamble, now we can see the problem. That's all. Before that, it's inside. It's dormant. You have always had this covetousness. And if it is not dealt with from day one, it's going to eat us up. It's going to destroy us. The Bible does not say that money is the root of all evil, but rather it is the love of it. But they that will be rich, see, that's the problem, isn't it? There is a desire to be rich, fall into temptation and a snare. When you go to work, what drives you? Is it a desire to be rich? Because if this is your attitude, a desire to be rich that propels you, that motivates you every day, every month, every year, when you go to work for the next 20, 30, 40 years of your working life, if that is which is propelling you, then you will become a prime candidate for gambling. Because gambling will give you the same reward but less work, hopefully. And there are people who are professional gamblers. They will quit their regular job and they will just gamble. And they say they have made more money gambling than doing regular work. These are the people who have very special brain. They're able to calculate and remember numbers, photographic memory perhaps. And they are the ones who are banned from many casinos. Because as far as casinos are concerned, these people are not allowed to enter because they can count. You play cards with them, the cards that come out, immediately they know how many cards are still in the deck. And then they will, based upon the probabilities and chances, they will know how many cards are still there, and then they will bet. These are the counters. And there are people who are like that. And that's what they do for a living. Professional gamblers. And they have no shame about what they are doing. They will go on television and they will tell you about it. They are not ashamed. But for Christians to indulge and involve themselves in such a terrible sin that has destroyed so many lives. 55% professing Christians say they will gamble. If you see me there, let me tell you that I'm there trying to catch you. I'm a terrible gambler. Still remember the last time I gambled. When I was not a Christian, I was in the army. Nothing to do, so we gamble. All of us sergeants came together and we just gamble. I'm a miser. Terrible gambler. They were gambling with $5, $10 notes. I was gambling with 5 cents, 10 cents, 5 cents. And when I won 25 cents, I was so happy. When I lost 30 cents, I was so long-faced, so miserable, they kicked me out. You don't play anymore, you get out. We don't want you here. And that was the last time I ever gambled. Can never win. As an unbeliever, I thank God that that habit stopped. Or that sin stopped. Not habit, that sin. Not a habit. Then when I became a Christian, no desire. Thank God for what I have. With whatever I have, live within what I have. Can we do that? The problem is, we desire to be rich. Look at verse 9. But they that will be rich, do you have this desire? Then you become a very dangerous candidate for gambling. Page 4, right at the bottom. 1 Timothy 6:9 and 10. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. You know what's a snare? A snare is a trap. It's a trap that you set deliberately to catch a bird or a prey. That's what a snare is. And all the casinos, all those little booths that sells 4D, the race course, all these places where all they do is to gamble. They are all snares. And if you go there, you would be the prey. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. That means believers fall into this category. They have strayed away, stumbled away from the faith in the course of their lust for wealth, for money, and they have ruined their lives and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Many. You break the family's heart. The sons and their daughters will be devastated by what the father or the mother has done. This obsession with money is a driving force behind many professionals and non-professionals when they wake up every morning before they go to sleep every night. Jesus says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What is the worth of your soul, dear friend? Is there a price tag to that? You're going to ruin your lives because of your soul?" Many who have this philosophy of life to gain will end up gambling at least once in their lifetime. "As long as I have that $1 more, I will have enough," you may cry. But it is like chasing an empty dream that can never become a reality. Enough will never be enough. You keep on chasing and chasing, and you will never arrive. And by the time you realize it, it's too late. You are at death's door, you're about to die. Either that or you're completely bankrupt. Don't go that route. It has ruined so many lives. Learn from the mistakes and don't let it ruin your life. Thou shalt not covet. The love of money is the root of all evil. See gambling for what it is. It's not a game. It's a terrible, dangerous sin and a snare. How to get rid of it? Godliness with contentment is great gain. There is only one way to overcome the sin of gambling and the addiction to gambling. Recognize and acknowledge that gambling is a great sin. Recognize that it is addictive and will ensnare the foolish soul. A Western sheriff confiscated a group of slot machines on the basis of a law banning the use of steel traps for catching dumb animals. Very correct, isn't it? Gambling in any form is a sin. It may be horse racing, slot machines, toto, mahjong, poker, blackjack, 4D, etc. All these are sins that are like steel traps waiting to ensnare the foolish and the greedy. Whether or not money is involved, gambling is still gambling. All the more so, especially Christians. Don't gamble during Chinese New Year. Use it as an excuse to gamble. And then when your children, when they watch you, what kind of example are we setting? Gambling is gambling whether you play with money or not, because it's a heart condition, isn't it? It's the problem with the heart. And to deal with it is be contented with what we have. In your workplace, in your home, in your family, thank God for your wife and your children. Thank God for the home that you have. Thank God for the job that He has given you. Thank God for what the Lord has given to you. And you pursue after godliness and not materialism. And when we learn to do that, the sin of gambling will fade away. And the addiction will also disappear immediately. Replace it with godliness. Don't just run away from gambling. Because you run away from gambling and not run away toward God, you're going to run in a circle and you're going to come back to the casino. And you're going to be 10 times worse. Because you tried it once, I failed. Oh yeah, forget about it. I'm not going to try again. I might just succumb to it. Don't just run away from gambling. Just run and run toward God in the process. Because God is the only one who can keep you and hold you and help you out of the sin of gambling and the addiction that gambling brings with it. Only God can do that. Confess the sins of gambling and pray and ask God to give you the strength to break off this sin forever. And when we run toward God. The right pursuit is godliness, not worldliness. And this godliness will cause us to pray more, to study God's holy word more, and have a renewed love for fellowship with the saints. Replace it with godly activities. Surround yourself with godly friends. Not gambling friends. Godly friends who will help you to overcome your sin. This is the new life that will result in contentment, and godliness coupled with contentment will make him a very rich man. That's what the Bible says. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Not worldliness, not wealth. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Don't need that extra dollar. What we have is more than enough. Spend time in pursuit of the things of God. Godliness. In closing, Jesus says in Luke 12:22-31, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. The ravens, by the way, were unclean birds, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you with ticking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you, that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help us, O Lord, as we live in this world of sin and wickedness that desires only to ensnare us, especially thy blood-bought children who know the light, whose lives have been transformed by the power of thy Holy Spirit and cleansed by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant to us the strength to overcome this evil, this sin of gambling, for it is on the increase in Singapore. May thou be merciful to grant to all thy children the strength of character to remain sober and watchful and steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and not be lulled into apathy and fall into the sin of gambling. O Lord, may thou deliver some in our midst who may have fallen into this sin, and cause this person, O Lord, by the power of thy Holy Spirit, to repent of the sin and turn to the Savior, confessing the sin, and grant to such a one, O Lord, a new heart, a desire to live a holy and a godly life. For Jesus' sake, in Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.